Let's give thanks.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
Pastor Renee, feeling thankful for all of you listening, for our many blessings, and for the hope that we experience together each Advent. This weekend of transition from Thanksgiving to Advent can feel like a rushed process where we are barely recovered from family festivities, and then the pressured march toward consumer Christmas begins. Advent is our opportunity to do differently, to pause, to wait expectantly, to name our hope even as the daylight fades and we light our candles in the darkness. In person, if you are in Champaign-Urbana, I hope you will join us at Restoration Urban Ministries this Sunday, November 27th, in the morning at 10:30 to begin Advent in a different way with our family there. In this online service, we will center on gratitude with a teaching from Reverend Terrence Thomas of Bethel AME, that he addressed to the Interfaith Gratitude Gathering last Sunday afternoon, and a benediction from Emily McCown, my friend and co-host of Downstate Krogert Events, as she leads us in a responsive prayer of thanks. Our closing song will transport us into the Advent spirit as we invite Emmanuel to come and enter our lives. Our Advent theme this year is the risk of faith, that each time we decide to allow God further into our lives, to say yes to God's plan without really understanding how it will play out, for God to repeatedly and continuously invest in us, we take a risk. Faith and love are risks, which are not easy and are often painful, and also hold the promise of so much blessing. This week's theme is the risk of gratitude, and I invite you to take the risk this Advent of joining us in worship, in our congregational conversation on December 11th, and to reconnect with Spring Initiative on December 18th, and to prepare our hearts for a future that God is preparing for us. May we be encouraged this season with the message in Philippians 4:4-9. Be glad in the Lord always. Again, I say be glad. Let your gentleness show in your treatment of all people. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all of your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Jesus the Messiah. Finally, beloved, if anything is excellent and if anything is admirable, focus your thoughts on these things: all that is true, all that is holy, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, and all that is worthy of praise. Practice these things, whatever you learned, received, heard, or saw in us. The God of peace will be with you. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving and welcome to Advent.
Celebrate, sing unto the Lord. I will sing to him a new song. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord. I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him, for he has triumphed.
Praise. Good morning, New Covenant. This is Kevin McGuire with a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So you, too, must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. This is the word of the Lord.
Keep your lamps trimmed and burning, keep your lamps trimmed and burning, keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing nigh. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning, keep your lamps trimmed and burning, keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing nigh. Children, don't get weary. Children, don't get weary. Children, don't get weary till your work is done. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Trimmed and burning, keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing nigh. Children, don't get weary. Children, don't get weary. Children, don't get weary till your work is done. Christian journey soon be over. Christian journey soon be over. Christian journey soon be over. The time is drawing nigh. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing nigh.
I was asked to do words of gratitude, but in my excitement of being asked, I didn't ask what that entailed.
Whatever you
is that 2 minutes? Is that 3 minutes? I cannot put a preacher in any context before a microphone without some instructions.
You are the host. You preach, brother.
So I'm going to tell the lie that I tell every Sunday to you all, and I tell to my church. I won't be before you long. But I have wrestled with gratitude in this season and what to say to an interfaith group. A group of many different beliefs, but yet we intersect on the power of love and making the world a better place. None of us pick up a faith tradition because we're trying to conquer the world. None of us have embarked on our faith journeys seeking and hoping to die, but to live better. And so what do I say in that moment? In this moment, honoring the space I won't be using per se as scripture, though I am an unapologetic, unashamedly Black Christian, I want to honor the space because I think that the divine speaks outside of the Bible. I think the divine speaks through holy books. I think jazz is divine. In fact, my sermon series for Advent is The Look at Advent through John Coltrane's Love Supreme. I think you can find it anywhere. I think you can find it anywhere. So I'm going to share a song with you as I do every Sunday morning with my church when I preach. And that will be our sermonic text from this morning. Now, those of you who are over the age of 50 might know this. Some of the younger folks may not. I had a grandmother that used to make me watch reruns with her. And so I actually love this song. Love is understanding. Don't you know this is true? Love is understanding. It's in everything we do. In this generation, in this loving time, in this generation, we will make the world shine. We were born to love one another. Y'all ain't watched the Monkees? This is something we all need. We were born to love one another. We must be what we're going to be. And what we have to be is free. In this generation, in this loving time, in this generation, we will make the world shine. And it repeats on today. Now, why did I sing that? One, because Bethel never lets me sing, and nobody from Bethel is here. Polly's back there. This song was the outro to the Monkees theme song, a sitcom of the 1960s, that turbulent period in America where people were trying to redefine new normals and shake off the hegemonies that came about. We had had the Great War, World War II, we had Korean Wars, then we had this social upheaval. And so the Monkees represented that group of young Americans at that time trying to figure out the world. And so they penned this song in this generation that spoke to the hopes and dreams that many of you had for your generation. We will make the world shine. We must be what we're going to be, and what we have to be is free. In a sense, the psalmist will consider this a song of praise, yet a song of lament, yet a psalm of hope, all wrapped up into one. They realize that we have to be free. We have to be together. We have to move in love. In many respects, there's an air of gratitude. And so as I was driving, I often get spoken to when I was driving in St. Louis, and this came on, and Reverend Wilson, my fiance that you know, looked at me and said, every day I learn something new because I had no knowledge that you liked the Monkees. And I looked at her and I said, how the hell you know that was the Monkees? And so we went back and forth with this. And then finally I confessed to her that I am a fan of Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix and 60s rock music, The Doors, Clarence Creekwater, all of those. As we entered into the season commonly known as Thanksgiving, and for myself, the season of expected promises known as Advent, and I'm almost certain every faith tradition has something that starts this season, there is so much to process and deal with. We are a nation in the aftermath of the albatross known as Donald Trump and his failed coup attempt. A nation struggling to honor the rights of those who are not white, wealthy, and cisgendered male. We are a nation struggling to honor each other's faith tradition and cultural norms. We are a nation struggling to live out the American dream. Our economy is struggling. Our communities are ravaged by all sorts of violence, gun violence, anti-Semitic violence, violence against the LGBTQ community, violence against women, violence against our bodies through the medical system. And it is enough to break our spirits. Yet in these turbulent times, we must not allow our spirits to become downtrodden or broken. One of the techniques every system of oppression does is to first break the spirit of those who are under it. It must first break the spirit, causing us to withdraw and focus on self. And so while I, as a chaplain, honor the notion of self-care and caring for self, I want us to be mindful that we have not surrendered to that false notion that the self is higher, because that benefits the system of oppression. I can't look out for my neighbor because I got to worry about myself. I can't look out for you because I have to worry about myself. I can't be concerned if you're eating because I'm struggling. Once this happens, we find ourselves resurrecting self-idolization through concepts such as the self is the highest form. And in Christian circles, there's this conversation about deconstructing the faith. And I'm telling people, hey, this sounds a lot like Ayn Rand. This sounds a lot like Nietzsche. God is dead and I am the highest form and I don't need a divine power. And I'm telling them, you're resurrecting concepts that gave birth to some of the most darkest times in history because you're trying to survive oppression as your spirit is being broken. However, this is a space of gratitude. I am not a pessimist, nor my faith is grounded in such a horrible concept. Even in the midst of all this, there is so much we have to be grateful for. Though these days are hard, we can gather now. In a space like this, we can gather to see our loved ones, our friends. We are able to care for ourselves. We have our basic needs met, and most importantly, we have the divine presence to guide us in our day-to-day. We have so much to be grateful for. Had this been 2 years ago, we would have been trying to orchestrate this on Zoom, not being able to see each other's smiles and not being able to fully hear the orchestra or even have a cookie. We have so much to be grateful for. So what are we doing with this gratefulness? One of the best ways we can show our gratefulness in this generation is to spread the love of the divine to others. In this generation, we have to show our gratefulness by sharing with others, not withdrawing into self, but by sharing love, sharing a kind word, sharing our resources. Privilege is taking our blessings and holding them and hoarding them. Gratitude calls for it to share so others may have it. Well, Reverend Terrence, that's socialism, and we don't do that in America. That's also capitalism, because if my business is doing good, your business will do good. And let's do something we're all familiar with. We have a nice home on a block, but if the other houses on the block are tore down, then you don't have a nice home. You have an anomaly. And so the property value goes by what's the majority is not your beautiful mansion. So if you're a mansion surrounded by vacant lots, then you might as well be in a vacant lot. So it behooves you to share your blessings. It behooves your well-being to speak life into others. Consider this. Have you ever enjoyed a tasty meal or beverage? Think about your best food. The moment, the sandwich, the beverage, whiskey sour, whatever it is. Wasn't it more enjoyable when you could share it with others? To turn to one and say, you have got to try this. Is it not more enjoyable when you say, you have to taste this? And then you see the joy in their face and in their hearts. And then you're thankful for the experience as a community. I thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that. That's great for introducing me to that. Thank you for presenting that to me. Or you've seen a phenomenal play or movie. Or you found a good place of worship. You share it. And then the person's joy brings you joy because you brought them joy. Now consider that experience and you're not able to share. What do you end up doing? I wish Rabbi Cook was here to enjoy this with me. I wish Mike was here. He would love this. And then your spirit is down a little bit more. Because you know that there is somebody that would enjoy this, somebody that could benefit, but you're not able to share. And so it is in these simple analogies, so it is with the blessings in our lives. The blessings that the divine has given us, with the blessings that have motivated us and molded us, the blessings that have pushed us to happiness. In this generation, systems of oppression will tell us that we are not to share, that these things are small and far in between. And while times are hard, I contend that they are not far and in between. Each one of us has five people we can touch and that can touch us. Each one of us is a sphere of influence and bring light into the other. And so I leave you with a warning. We have to share our gratitude. In this season, we will be pressed as communities to take our balls in respective areas and go home and don't worry about the person next door. And I promise you that benefits systems of oppression more than it benefits us. All of our faith traditions call for sharing, call for community, call for communal love. All of our faith traditions, we are instructed by the divine to make the world a better place in this generation. Thank you and God bless.
Pray that I might have a grace. people well, to love one another, share the well, my friend. Share the well, share with your sister, share the well, my friend. It takes a deeper well to love one another, share the well, my friend. J-Rod, 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 J-Rod. Of this earth on their way to join the flow are cast aside and left in thirst. Tell me now it is not so. Share the well, share with your brother, share the well, my friend. It takes a deeper well to love one another, share the well, my friend. Share the well, share with your sister, share the well. Deeper well to love one another, share the well, my friend. J-Rod, 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 J-Rod.
We all share the water hole. Blessed day the monsoon comes. In his image we are woven, every everyone, from Kashmir to Kerala, under every banyan tree, mothers for their children cry with empty jar and bended knee.
Share the well, share with your brother, share the well, my friend. It takes a deeper well to love one another, share the well, my friend. Share the well, share with your sister. Share the well, my friend. It takes a deeper well to love one another. Share the well, my friend. J-Rod, 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 J-J-J. J-Rod, 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 J-J-J.
You know I've heard good people say there's nothing I can do. Half a world away. Well, maybe you've got money, maybe you've got time, maybe you've got the living well, ain't it ever running dry.
Share the well, share with your brother, share the well, my friend. It takes a deeper well to love one another, share the well.
McCown. I'm the director at Channing Murray Foundation and Seminary at United Theological Seminary. I'll start us out with a Unitarian Universalist prayer out of our hymnal, and it's by Reverend Eugene Pickett. I'll say some words, and then I'll have you respond with, "We give thanks this day." For the expanding grandeur of creation, worlds known and unknown, galaxies beyond galaxies, filling us with awe and challenging our imaginations.
We give thanks this day.
For this fragile planet Earth, its times and tides, its sunsets and seasons.
We give thanks this day.
For the joy of human life, its wonders and surprises, its hopes and achievements.
We give thanks this day.
For our human community, our common past and future hope, our oneness transcending all separation, our capacity to work for peace and justice in the midst of hostility and oppression.
We give thanks to say.
For high hopes and noble causes, for faith without fanaticism, for understanding of views not shared.
We give thanks to say.
For all who have labored and suffered for a fairer world, who have lived so that others might live in dignity and freedom.
We give thanks to say.
For human liberty and sacred rights, for opportunities to change and grow, to affirm and choose.
We give thanks to say.
Until the sun.